This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers have broken through a door into New York's Metropolitan Museum. Richter established himself as the most stealthy and criminally capable of the crew. Adrian told a police officer exactly what was going on, and Red barely managed to save the situation and get the team inside. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
So Mystery Punchers, having narrowly escaped a very clever, not at all clever ploy by Barry Bullock to literally just turn yourselves in, you have infiltrated the Met, and you find yourselves inside a sort of a... You've come in through a service entrance, if you'll recall. So you're actually kind of in the office wing. It's clearly a staff entrance, and you can see... I think the best visual reference for this is to kind of consider like what newspaper offices look like in movies of this period, where it's a lot of like weird semi cubicles and everything's wood, sort of glass paneling, but very wide open, but very busy office space, very, very bustling. As you burst through the door, it's very much like the record skips in the old saloon. And everyone just kind of turns to look at the three of you, people who very clearly do not work in this museum. You are approached by a slightly flustered man who is wearing a tweed suit with classic professor patches. You can tell as he kind of storms up to you, he's clearly having a bit of a day. You can see that he's already sweat through his shirt. He looks a bit like Justin Long. If he had ended up as like a museum curator and was probably 10 years older, and he just kind of comes up, looking confused, but also slightly pissed. And just says, excuse me, you can't be in here.
Oh, hi there. We're here to check on the Egyptian exhibit. We're the ambassadors from the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto.
I was hoping you were going to say we're the ambassadors from Egypt.
And just wide-eyed again in amazement at just the fantastic improvisational skills that Red has. Richter is just like grinning like an idiot behind her, like, ooh, that was a clever one.
And yeah, Adrian is visibly confused because he can't remember whether or not he's allowed to talk.
And she's just going to hold out her hand and be like, hi, I'm Marcy Johnston. I'm the assistant curator at the Royal Ontario Museum, and we're just here to see how the exhibition's going to go.
He kind of extends his hand, looking vaguely suspicious. Claire, can you roll me I think we're going to go with persuade. No, there's fast talk, right? That's a thing. Yeah, let's do fast talk. This seems like a fast talking kind of situation.
Oh, that's a 5. That's an extreme success.
5? Holy shit.
As mm-hmm. he extends his hand, he goes, Oh, of course, of course. Oh, from the ROM. Yes, very good. My name is Justin Ackers. I am one of the curators here. I do apologize. We weren't expecting you for another couple of days. The exhibit isn't actually fully set up just yet. It is certainly nice to see you. Thank you again for all of your assistance. The Tutankhamun exhibit looks to be in excellent shape.
Oh, it's just fancy, isn't it? And, you know, we're sorry that we're here early. It's just, you know, can't control when the trains get in, and we had to take the one that we had to take. And I know it's not set up. We're just here to make sure that it all arrived in one piece. So I won't take any more of your time. It looks like you're real busy over here. So if you could just show me where it is.
Oh,
out of your hair.
I can assure you that it did all arrive in one piece. Thank you. I'm glad you checked in. But the exhibit arrived in tip-top shape.
Oh, and I'm very glad to hear that. Of course, you know, I gotta send some. I have to see it. You know, my boss is on my butt for these kind of things. So, just point me in the right direction. I'll get out of your hair.
His eyes narrow again. Claire, you can tell you're losing him. Mm. You get the sense that particularly at this particular juncture in time. The Met probably, and actually probably true now as well, has a bit more sway than the fine folks at our beloved Royal Ontario Museum. It's kind of like someone from a peewee baseball team, like storming the field, being like, I demand to throw a pitch. And everyone's like, you're 8. You can tell he's getting a little bit suspicious. Also, your case is not helped by the man in the tuxedo. yeah. Richter absolutely looks like he's in the right place. Addy stands out a bit. An ambassador from a museum, you are a mighty scarred up lady.
You're dressed like a fisherman.
Which like shouldn't matter, but does.
Yeah, no, I totally forgot that I was full undressed as a river fisherman.
Admittedly, he may have just assumed that's a Canadian thing. Like, I don't want to put it past him that this could
that's
just
true.
Be that. What do you think you do to try and bring him around?
So you say this guy's about what, 40?
Yes, yes. An right. older Justin Long, also named Justin.
Right. Okay. She's going to look at him and just say, are you the curator? Are you the one in charge here? I didn't realize that you could get a position so young and handsome like yourself.
Oh, well, thank you. But no, I'm an assistant curator. There are a number of us, actually, but...
I'm just saying, if I'd known I'd be meeting you, I would have put on a bit more makeup.
that doesn't seem necessary, ma'am. Are you flirting with me?
Well, what if I am?
I am not good in social interactions, so this is very confusing.
I'm just saying, life in the museum business tends to be a bit lonely, and, you know, it's my first time to New York City, so I was just... You know, seeing a bit more sights than I expected to, if you know what I mean.
Well, perhaps then I should show you around New York.
Oh,
let's go.
This guy was fucking busy.
Yeah. That's a great idea. If you could just point me to the nearest washroom, I just, you know, want to go freshen up.
He's like, you can tell he's trying, like, he is also trying to pull one over on you testing your resolve. It's definitely now a game of liar's chicken where you're both just like, worse lie. I'm gonna say, Claire, can you roll? I think this is gonna be a persuade check.
Okay, that's a success.
Okay.
Regular roll success.
I did not roll great for him. So he definitely feels like something's up, but he is he's committed to this steamed hams thing now. So he's just like, yes, but then I must show you around New York, correct?
Of course, I look forward to it.
Excellent. Well, the washroom is just over here. Your compatriots will have to wait here, of course. Standard museum policy, as you must know, as an ambassador of a museum.
Of course. Do you mind just showing me where it is?
Yes, it's right this way. And he leads you to a staff washroom that's just kind of off their kitchen. So quite nearby. It is unfortunately not tremendously well hidden.
Damn.
Richter. Adrian leans down to Richter and just says quietly, he's like, is this a stick up? Because we're doing it wrong.
A stick up? What is a stick up?
Okay, so what happens in a stick up is I take at the narwhal and then I shoot it into the ceiling, and then Red worked on the voice with me, and what I say is, this is an old-fashioned low-tech stick up. Everybody on the ground and put your shit in the bag. And then I'm not supposed to talk anymore. If anyone makes noise, I shoot up or then.
No, I don't think this is one of those. No, I think this is something that requires a bit more of a delicate touch. I think Red is doing an excellent job so far. I'm completely enraptured by her performance.
See, I'm a little worried because she said that I had to stay right with her because outside when I got left alone, I made poor decisions.
Well, then we should take part in the scheming as well, yeah?
And, okay.
And Richter will just too loudly say, like, my associate and I also need to use the washroom.
I gotta do a big poop.
Yeah.
So Justin is clearly kind of frazzled, perhaps more so. And there's, like, people doing full-on, like, Aaron Sorkin walk-and-talks with him, like, trying to hand him documents. And he's like, no. And so finally, Red, he just points to the bathroom. He's like, it's... Please use that one right there. I shall return. Apparently, one of your associates must take a rather large poop, which I should assist in. I will return momentarily. And then he turns on his heel and kind of rushes, and he starts like gesturing broadly to Richter and Adrian.
Richter's like kind of like comes alive a little bit, like, oh, all right. And it starts to like move over towards the washrooms.
Yeah, I'll just follow.
Red, what are you doing while he is distracted?
I would like to slip into the museum proper. That's what I'd like to do.
All right, go ahead and roll a stealth check, please.
Okay.
wise choice not to bring Adrian.
We are sneaking.
Oh, boy. No, that's a fail.
Oh, no.
My stealth isn't high.
So, Red, you try and give him the slip, but as soon as your hand is on the doorknob, he's like, I'm sorry, ma'am. The bathroom is over there. The ones in the museum are for patrons only, and they're not nearly as nice.
Oh, no, that's fine. And I'm just gonna open the door, close it behind me, and run. I want to disappear.
Okay. I'm going to need a... Let me see. Sorry, I'm just looking through the list of skills here to see what exactly that would be. You can hear a kerfuffle behind you as it is clear that they're not just like, our one weakness, shucks, doors. I look for this. Richter and Adrian, what do you do as soon as you see Red disappear?
Hey everybody, Tom McGee here, your friendly neighborhood DM, and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our shows. I hope you're having a great time. Obviously we are. I'm probably really stressed because they're probably doing something horrible to me right now, but I hope you're enjoying it, and we're enjoying you being here. And listen, if you want to get a little bit more involved in our show and with the various things we do, you can check out
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
Where you can find more information about how you can become a part of the show, how you can screw with me on air, how you can add names and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great way to support us and our ongoing dumb adventures. So thanks very much for joining us, and I will see you out there in the Dumbverse.
I'm going to go and try to, distract Justin Ackers. If he's like looked over at her going through the wrong door and is about to engage, I want to bring him over to us instead.
Okay, how do you do that?
Richter will just clutch his stomach and say, "Oh!" and just fall to his knees in the middle of this office.
Oh, are you okay? Accidentally, Adrian is selling this bit 100% because he's not aware it's fake. Somebody get a doctor.
Okay, Tyler, can you roll a fast talk, please?
Oh my god. I got all ready and I don't have my dice. One second.
Classic for the old record, man Richter.
Adrian is completely panicked because he has he was not supposed to be left alone. And now Richter is dying. It's very confusing.
I'm so sorry, bud. This is what I get for trying to do a non-shooty option.
Ooh, that's nice and low, but is it low enough for my fast talk? No, I rolled a 10 and I failed. I'm going to spend 5 luck for a normal success.
Yeah, wow. That's a good time to use it. Justin is like, "Oh no, shit." The fact that Adrian, who is clearly also very like physically imposing, is like flailing around screaming for a doctor. He runs back and says, "I'm a doctor of philosophy. What can I do?"
Him. If he dies, I'm gonna go crazy.
So he drops to his knees next to you, Richter, and he says, "What seems to be the difficulty? Is it your appendix? Did your appendix explode? I think this is something we knew about in the 30s. Maybe we just thought it was I don't know, humorous or something. Medical science has come a long way. Regardless, what's wrong with your guts?"
Richter will just take the offer and just like, yeah, it's what you said it was, yeah.
He says, "Oh, don't worry, I have just the thing. Here, drink this." And he reaches into his jacket and he hands you a small bottle.
What does it say on the bottle?
"Grandpa, you gotta drink it. You can't afford to die on me."
And he's gonna take it out of his hand and just start pouring it into his mouth, like forcing him to drink it.
All right, and that, my friends, is the story of how Richter got just a full mouthful of laudanum. Tyler, I'm going to need I think a constitution check as the opiate gets poured down your throat.
That's a big old fail.
Oh man. Go tell Richter when he's 10 feet tall, am I right? You are immediately awash with feelings of relaxation. And your arms feel all weird and floppy like noodles. Richter, what do you think you do?
I don't know anything. I, as a player, don't know anything about laudanum.
Nor I, but okay. I know it's of the period and seems to be a thing.
It's like morphine plus codeine, essentially.
Yeah. So you just like dopey.
I was going to say, I go to sleep. I'm choking and sputtering as it's being forced down my throat. And then I just good nacht and just.
What? You need to wake him back up.
Adrian just says to the doctor, he's like, you're a doctor, and now he's asleep. I am not burying him in the woods, so you wake him the fudge up.
He says, oh, no, it's fine. He's just sleeping. I just put him to sleep.
Wait, long sleep or short sleep?
Oh, a long sleep, definitely.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
And then he's going to grab the narwhal and just blow away the doctor.
This is so bad.
You know, 2 days earlier, Justin Ackers was at his local doctor's office, and he was saying, listen, as a fellow doctor, and the actual doctor was like, of philosophies, yeah, regardless, I just really could use another dram of the good stuff, as it were. Some more laudanum. I must say, being an assistant curator at a museum is quite stressful. The doctor just shakes his head and says, you know, Justin Knight, I'll give this to you because we're both doctors. But be careful, because, you know, laudanum could kill you. And then they have a good laugh about it. He thinks of this as his head is blown off by the close-range narwhal shot. And immediately the room flies into a panic. There are screams. People, like, dive to the floor.
Adrian starts to panic as he realizes everything's gone crazy and he only knows one thing to do. So he raises the narwhal and shoots the other barrel into the ceiling and yells, all right, this is an old-fashioned low-tech stick-up. Everybody get on the ground and put your shit in the... and then he looks around because he doesn't have a bag. Tom, is there anything that's bag or box equivalent?
Oh, there's lots of boxes, for sure. And there's, like, also probably some large ladies' purses.
Everybody put your stuff in that purse! And he's going to pick up the purse and just threaten the room with the narwhal, hoping they'll all hold still because he's not supposed to talk more for this.
Great. Richter, your body is sprayed by the viscera gushing from the neck of the dead professor, but you don't feel it because you are in Happy Town.
So warm.
Well, delightful. It's nature's blanket. Cool. Red, you have slipped into the museum, and you trust that everything is going according to plan. The museum itself is closed. So the good news is there aren't, like, you know, civilians wandering around, causing a ruckus. But you're booking it. Do you think you would try and go to the exhibit or to the loading dock?
The exhibit.
Okay.
Because the goal is to bring the stuff to the loading dock. So.
Yeah. Okay. So as you kind of, this is a much more, like, visually stimulating sequence than it's going to sound. But basically, as you're, like, running through the super cool kind of dimly lit halls of the museum, kind of rushing past, suits of armor on mannequins, you kind of, like, have to deke through the dinosaur exhibit. So kind of, like, if we imagine Red kind of darting between the bones, you are quite close to where the Tutankhamun exhibit is going to be, is being set up, when you hear a patrolman. Now, this is strange. You actually expected you would have seen more patrol people doing rounds, but for some reason, whether just through luck or skill, depending on how Red's feeling about herself at any given time, you've managed to avoid these guys altogether. That said, there's definitely one coming around a corner. So basically you have a split second to try and hide. So you're in the dinosaur room. A guard is walking by with a flashlight. What do you do?
I'll try to hide.
Okay. Where do you think you would try and hide? Would you try and hide, like, is this just kind of a dive for cover? Is it a try and, I guess I'm mostly asking in terms of, like, your reaction speed. Is it a calculated, like, look around, find a spot and go? Or is it just kind of throw yourself down?
I would say more the former, because she's not in a physical position to just throw herself anywhere right now. And I think she's very keenly aware of that. So,
right, of course.
I think she's practiced enough that it's not going to be like, run, stop, oh no, taking the, you know, it's fairly like, she's fair enough, she's well enough aware of her surroundings pretty much at all times that mm-hmm. it's just like, oh no, someone, I saw something back there, I'm going to go around. So it's probably hide behind, you know, like a large Paleolithic armadillo or something like that.
Amazing. Okay, can you please roll me a spot hidden? Yes. We're going to say that this is for that kind of immediate reflex of where to look.
Oh my God, that's a massive fail. Yep, that's a good old fail.
Okay, so having failed to spot a massive Paleolithic armadillo, as you do, mm-hmm. you're going to have to take a more drastic action to try and hide. So I think what we're looking at here is, I think we're going to go with a dodge roll. And this is unfortunately just full on, like, you're looking for something that can hide your full bulk. You don't see mm-hmm. anything, but he's coming around the corner. So now it's to the ground.
Okay.
A clock.
Oh my God. That's a fail, but I'm going to spend 10 luck to get there.
Okay. So you throw yourself down hard. I'm going to say you take 3 points of damage.
Oh God.
As you know, stars, like spots kind of blare in your eyes from, mm-hmm. from the pain. Luckily, the beam of the flashlight kind of passes directly through where you just were. As the beam kind of sweeps the room, it picks up like just a massive, very easy to hide behind armadillo that was just slightly outside your field of view. With the flashlight on it, it's a real insult. Like, they're just rubbing your nose in it now. Luckily, the guard, who does actually spend a moment scanning the room, eventually, just kind of says, "Yep, those are some dinosaurs." Continues on his way.
Okay.
So as you wince getting to your feet begin to walk forward, you hear a clatter from the direction the guard was walking. Slowly the flashlight rolls back out into kind of the gap that he'd been standing in. So you're still in the dinosaur enclosure, but just beyond you, mm-hmm. The single flashlight is rolling along the ground. What do you do?
I assume that he's been murdered, and I'm going to creep around to the door that he went into.
Okay. Give me a stealth check, please, the creeping.
Ooh, for the creeping.
You're a creep.
You
don't have to write steady this, so I'm just going to mumble it.
That's exactly a success.
Oh, right on the line?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Great. So you kind of quickly move up, press yourself against the wall, and then you're just like peering out to see what happened. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. You edge around the corner, you see the guard sprawled out on the ground. You can see there's some movement in his chest. He does seem to be breathing, but unconscious. Alarmingly, someone seems to have wrapped his face in what looks to be vaguely filthy white bandages. laying on his chest, rising and falling with his breath, is an ankh. So the sort of classic Egyptian symbol of life and death.
And here I thought this is going to be just a normal old museum heist.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, and all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Zekin X, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
17.9 cycles ago, us machines defeated the humans. Now, we're living the good life here in Droidston, Manitoba.
Morning, Gif!
Morning, Gus!
But there's still the problem of human infestation. That's when it's time to call Human Be Gone.
Human Be Gone!
Experts in ethical human relocation. This job has everything. Danger.
Whoa, sounds like we got some dingers in there.
Excitement.
Incoming.
And drama.
You're the one who leaked herself in my basmati rice bed.
It's a dirty job, but some bots gotta do it.
Oh.
Human Be Gone. Coming soon wherever you get your podcasts.
Human.